It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown creature.
Since winning the award, man, it's like everywhere I go now, people are just talking about the Unknown Preacher LA, the album, the podcast, and I'm actually thinking about removing Unknown and just calling it the LA Podcast. And so what I decided to do is give $100 to the first person I'll talk to and who can help me with the singing the theme song, because see, like everywhere I go, that's what I'm hearing, you know, the Unknown Preacher. So I'm gonna go into the shopping mall and just randomly select someone and just give them this $100. Yeah. Hey, sir. Hey, how y'all doing? Right. Can I ask you a question, sir? I am the host of the number one Christian podcast in the country, the Unknown Preacher LA. You ever heard of that?
Not at all.
Beautiful people, Unknown Preacher LA season 6, man. Our second episode, and welcome back, my partner in crime, my pal Tatiana. What's up, Tots?
I've been ripping and running this week. Everything is up. Everything is up. What's up with you?
Nothing much, man. It's been a minute, man. You've been like gone from the past two episodes.
Yeah. But do you want to tell everybody why?
It's not your call. This is your business.
My business. You deleted the episode.
Oh yeah. Don't do that, man. So let's, dang, you really did call me out.
What were you talking about?
I was talking about your trip out of the country.
Literally, we recorded on the day I had my flight. So no, don't try to put this on me. No, no, sir. No, sir.
Yeah, that was an error. I don't know how in the world I did that. I know I needed to make space, and I was looking at some of the previous episodes with you on, and I was deleting them, and it went awry after that, so.
I think this is classic censorship.
We didn't say anything. I can't even remember. I actually thought it was a good dialogue. I can't remember, though, but I do know we were in agreement the entire 15 minutes, I think it was.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, cool. So what you got for us, man? You said you wanted to talk. I know we both have really tight schedules, but I know you, some things were dear to you. You mentioned mental health, which is super important.
Well, but specifically, I was thinking about it in terms of advocating for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember what specifically like prompted me to think about this. I want to say it was something in terms of the workplace, like somebody having just like an issue in the workplace and like trying to advocate for, you know, what their needs are, trying to kind of think about getting ahead or whatever you got to do, or kind of like protecting yourself in that way. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what it was that I saw that just like, but I remember seeing something that made me think how important it is to advocate for yourself. And I can't for the life of me remember what it was, but it reminded me of, I've done a lot of like self-work to get to a place of advocating for myself. And I think that's why I kind of connected it to mental health.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I was in my doctoral program, I was having a lot of stressful things trying to deal with my advisor.
Uh-huh.
And who was really, it felt like to me, trying to exert their will over me in terms of determining my research direction, determining which courses I would take, determining just kind of where I was going to go. Yeah, and I just was like, I'm not going to get what I want out of this program if this happens. And I remember one day I left directly out of my meeting with my advisor and I walked straight over to the campus help center and was like, I need to talk to a counselor. And I feel like a lot of what I was working on when I started going to therapy after that was learning how to advocate for myself. And so I think that's why I kind of connected the idea of advocating for yourself to your mental health, because for me personally, I remember it was a really a tax on my mental health. And learning how to advocate for myself helped me to overcome that.
Man, I absolutely agree with you. And as you were talking, I was thinking, like, not knowing, because there are people who don't know how to advocate for themselves, and even more so not how to express what they're going through. And so to me, that adds on to the stress, right? Because you have no outlet. You don't really understand sometimes. Like, I've had conversations with people and they don't really know why they're going through what they're going through as far as their feelings. And then when you start saying, hey, this just happened to you. Now you're going through this. Now you're trying to buy a house. And you start listing what they're going through. And they're like, wow, I don't think sometimes people even realize in that moment was all the weight that's been put on their shoulders.
Yeah, because especially, you know that quote where they say, check on your strong friends?
Yes, yeah.
I think especially for people who people assume always have it together or are so organized or whatever, even if I think sometimes people don't realize, because there might be an expectation about what you can handle, so they don't really realize when you're handling too much.
Well said.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is so true. And so, like me, I'm like probably the strongest person you know. And so you probably you probably like he never going through it, but yeah, man, I juggle a lot. I go through it too.
The truth is, I'm constantly telling you to take things off your plate because you're doing too much. Doing too much. You remember that? You actually passed out that one time.
Oh, wow. Do you love calling me out on it? You've been waiting because it's been a while. Like, hey, let me throw everything out.
No, I'm just saying. Like, don't be tough. No, you're the main one who needs to calm down. The main one.
Oh. And I also want to approach, and to your point, I concede and say, yeah, you're right on that. But I also want to throw the spiritual, the Christian dynamic in this, because, and some people might get upset, but I have to say it, because in all honesty, you know, sometimes we can become so spiritual that we forget that we're human. And what I mean by that is that we'll get into, people will say, just pray about it. I've heard that. And that is important. Prayer is super important. But there is a conversation that needs to take place after that. There are people who God will put in your life, therapists, counselors, friends, that help you get through those times. And we can get so focused on, hey, let me pray about it, that we forget about the steps that come after the prayer. And I've said this on the show before about a friend who was going through it and needed medication. And she said that the people in the church, and they basically said she had a devil in her, and she didn't take the medication initially because she felt like the influence was demonic as opposed to being medical. And so she suffered for a great amount of time, and then when she got on the medication, she talked about how much better she was. And so those are just important things to throw out there. And then the last part I'll say is, because some people believe because you suffer, that means that you're not living right or don't have a relationship with God. And, you know, and I'm always struggling with the exact verse, but I know it's in the book of Psalms saying that God is near the brokenhearted. So that's my spiel, T.
Yeah, and just I guess to add to that, that sometimes the people such as the counselors or the therapist or the doctor who's prescribing the medicine might be actually the answer to your prayer. And if you're just rejecting those things, you just might not be realizing that those things were actually the answer to what you were praying about. That somebody was able to say, oh, actually, I have a diagnosis for you, or I have a treatment for you, or something like that. That might have been the answer to the prayer. So just, you know, keep that in mind. But when you were just talking about just like stress, I really wish I knew what you were going to say, because the, something you just said made me think about, I follow someone on social media, a momfluencer, I guess, if you will. Mm-hmm. And she was talking about how people, how they basically, somebody was acknowledging that it seems like she's always going through something. Like she's always got a struggle that she's dealing with. And, how people are just kind of like, you know, God is carrying you or something like that, but just kind of saying it in a way that was kind of dismissive of what she was struggling with and experiencing.
Yeah.
That was really resonating for me right now. And she was kind of responding to that on social media. And basically, I think she said something like, oh, people will say, oh, God won't give you more than you can handle or stuff like that. And she's like, it just really wasn't a supportive or understanding response of what she was dealing with. And, you know, so I guess also to just be somebody who is understanding of people when they have those moments and use faith as a tool and a guide and a support, as opposed to a mechanism of dismissing people's feelings and concerns and needs.
Mm. Well said. Well said. And, you know, well, you already know how I feel about social media and cruelty, man. People just say some of the, and sometimes I think these keypad warriors are just trying to just create chaos. They'll get on there knowing they don't even believe what they're posting, but they just want to dismantle what you're saying, or tear someone down, or make someone feel bad. Where they say hurt people hurt people. And then the other part is the Bible doesn't say God would never give you more than you can handle. And we really need to spread that a little more, because you hear that all the time. I was watching this show this week, and the mother lost her child, and she goes in a room and people were saying that, and they were saying, you know, it's in God's will. You know, there's something going, you know, I've had guests on my show who have said it, and I'll say it, you know, that might not be the time. And I'm saying this because it's important for people to be empowered with knowledge. And when someone's going through these tragic events, and it may be God's will, maybe, but it may not be the time for you to start talking like that. They just want you present. So we have to do better, T.
Absolutely. And I know this is going to sound like a departure, but when I was talking earlier about my experience as a graduate student and, you know, the mental health advocacy and all of that, it reminded me, you sent me a social media post this week that was about how the University of Michigan is going to be moving to a pass, no pass system for some of its freshmen. So instead of them getting a letter grade, they're going to do final grades that's basically like either a pass or a no credit. And they said that they'll still get letter grades in the class, but like what will show up on their transcript will either be that pass or no credit. And the reason that they're doing this is for students' mental health, in particular for those freshmen as they're transitioning into college. And I responded and I said, I'm okay with it. And you did a wow reaction. Why did you do a wow reaction? And what are your thoughts on what the University of Michigan is talking about doing for the kids and their mental health?
So I'm going to keep the suspense. We're going to wrap this part up. And if you don't mind, I'll introduce my guests. And then on the next episode, we'll talk about that. Is that a
cliffhanger?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk about our guest. Her name is Marissa, and she is with the Other Side of Raleigh. They're really a strong community support organization. Their goal is to restore dignity through human connection and just without judgment. They want to really help people who are facing homelessness, hardship, and adversity in the city of Raleigh. So it is just an honor to be able to sit down with people who are just really serving. And so I'm looking forward to that. And T, I'll catch you on the next episode, and we'll talk about this pass-fail system that they're going to implement.
Okay, see you soon.
All right, y'all. Peace. From us all, produce market, your health food store, with vegetables and more, fresh fruits, slushy juice, and acai bowls too. Black Farmers Hub is located at 1409 Cross Street in Raleigh. Stop by Nature's 360 Cafe for your herbs, favorite acai bowls, smoothies, and juices. And join us for Mental Health, Wealth, and Wellness Mondays. Come get your $25 fast. Beautiful people, we are back, man. Let me tell you, I'm so excited about this segment of the show because this is super important. Today, we're having a conversation that I believe every community needs to have. And it's not just with our heads thinking logically, but with our hearts. And, you know, when we talk about homelessness, we talk about statistics and tents and panhandling, crime. We throw all kinds of things on the challenges, relocating and all of that stuff. But behind every stat, there's a mother, there's a father, a child, someone who has experienced a loss, someone who may be in a predicament that they just never knew they would be in. And so it's just super important for us to have this conversation. And I am happy, I am honored to have a member of the Other Side of Raleigh with us. Marissa is going to represent this great organization as they work and help the unhoused community. So, Marissa, I want to thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm definitely excited to be here today.
Yes, this is really important and just long overdue. I just want to start, like, you know, because we focus on serving people, experiencing homelessness and helping them connect with resources, right? And we believe that they deserve that type of support. And I love everything that you're doing. So can you just give us an overview and tell us about the Other Side of Raleigh?
Yes, of course. So I'm Marissa. I am the Community Outreach Director. And we are a nonprofit here based in Raleigh, North Carolina. We just have the core belief that everyone deserves dignity, no matter what that circumstance is that they're currently dealing with. And our mission is to restore that dignity through that storytelling, through outreach, through services in the community, giving them that real support for anybody that's experiencing hardship. Our founder, he saw a gap in the community. He started connecting with community members, hearing their story. And we wanted to humanize these stories and make them feel seen and help people be aware of what's going on in our community. And we wanted to humanize these stories. We posted them and it worked. Raleigh came through as an amazing community showing that there's so many people that want to help, but they don't always know how to help. So we're here to bridge that gap.
I love it. I love what y'all are doing again. And, you know, the sad part is, and I talk about this on this show, one of the things I love about the podcast, because we really do tackle these issues, but those stereotypes, we're quick to put people in boxes. We see people, we jump to conclusions. I always say when I'm giving this spiel at a community event, you see a short guy with a shaved head and you already jump to conclusions because I'm short with a shaved head. But when we see people who suffer from homelessness or the unhoused community, you hear things like they're lazy, they don't want to work, you know, they just need to, don't get me to say it, Marissa, grab, you know, themselves by the bootstraps, and you know, you hear all this stuff, and most of the time it's inaccurate. So what do you want? What's your response when you hear these stereotypes?
So it's mixed emotions. And there's definitely two routes. You get some people who assume, they assume that, of course, like you said, that they're lazy and they could just get a job. But then on the other side, there's that part of Raleigh that understands that there's community members that are in that need. And some of these community members were successful people, who were dealt obstacles that they just couldn't overcome, especially by themselves. But both sides fuel our mission. And to humanize these stories, and we help these community members feel seen while showing people you can't just judge a book by its cover.
Amen. And I imagine, to that point, that's a very good point. When you're working closely with them, like your organization, you learn things. So what's the takeaway? What is something that they have taught you?
When it comes to being like active in the community?
Yeah.
My service has taught me three things. So our three components is that we have people that don't feel seen. We have people that need help, people that want to help. And then people that don't even know that this is an issue in the community. And so this is where we come in. Our mission is important because we see the community members and we see that they need help and connecting them with those resources and those people that want to help. So this is where we also spread awareness to those that don't need the help and they know that it's needed. So we fuel all of these components when it comes to getting people involved so they know what's going on in the community. And our mission is we see you, we hear you, we're here. And we want to bridge that gap and bring everybody together so they can see these people as well.
Yes. I love that. And I know, so I don't know if you knew this, but I've been in law enforcement for years, right? And I just remember being a young officer and, you know, the mindset, well, if you, you know, why won't they accept this help? To your point, we're trying to connect you with services, because I was in a very progressive city and there were abundance of resources. And it's like, hey, we can connect you here. And, you know, and when they rejected the offer of you, I'm not going to say you felt some kind of way, but you're like, I just couldn't wrap my brain around it.
And you're just confused.
You get older, but now I understand. Well, one, trust is an important part of this, right? And so, but let me ask you this. Why would someone reject those offers and the offer to assist them?
They can reject it if they feel that you're projecting onto them. One of the biggest things that we do, because this fuels our entire foundation of what we do, is that our community members, they usually have been let down over and over by systems, by people, or even sometimes by their family members. So our mission is based around consistency, always showing up for them when no one else was doing that for them, but making that eye contact, talking with them, making them feel seen and hearing their story before you push your assumptions onto them without knowing that. They would rather someone see them than to feel bad for them and feel like a charity case.
Mm. It goes back to what you were saying earlier about dignity. And I guess that's what dignity looks like. Is that safe to say?
Yes. Dignity is showing up for them and letting them know that they're not alone on this journey. But also, we don't just show up, give them a meal, and send them on their merry way. We invest our time into being on these journeys with them and making sure that they're getting their resources that they need every step of the way. And that helps to build that trust, showing up with that consistency.
Yes. And I want to touch on this as well. I just shared I was in law enforcement, but before that, I worked at a mental institution and a mental hospital. And I do remember, you know, many of those hospitals have closed. And so it has created housing issues for some of the people who were patients. So, and from your experience, what role does mental health play in this?
Mental health, it can be both a cause and a consequence. Mental health can cause people to not be able to hold on to a job or be able to function through paperwork. And then people can also develop mental issues with that trauma that's caused from being homeless. So being able to navigate those paperworks, it plays a big part in establishing our mission, because we're here to help those that can't advocate for themselves. And so we want to be able to assist when it comes to that, with those mental illness. It's very important that they are aware that there's resources, so that way they can get on track, have that active resource, and then they won't keep going through the cycle of being homeless. Because once you get into that mental mindset, it's hard to get out of that.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I absolutely love your answer, and I love everything y'all doing. This is wow, just much needed.
Yes.
Now I'm gonna ask you a question, because you're younger than me. Do you remember a different world?
A different world. I'm originally from New York, so I will say that what's being seen here, there's a lot of that seen in New York as well, if not more. And it's definitely different to the fact where when I was younger, I was never taught to walk past people and judge them. I was always taught to, if someone needs help, you help them. So I will say that it is a different world when it comes to seeing people that are in these conditions and that need help, and we're looking the other way.
Amen. So I'm going to use that as a soundbite. That was my failure to communicate. The sitcom, A Different World, Kadeem Hardison, Jasmine Guy. Does that sound familiar to you? It was a sitcom in the 90s.
A Different World?
Yeah.
Yes, I love A Different World.
My parents love me. Oh, yes. Okay. So there's this episode where, well, they're in class. They're having a discussion about homelessness, and the character, Ron, is talking about, well, they, you know, basically saying no one, if you're homeless because you choose to be. Mm-hmm. And so he's walking, and this guy is asking for some assistance, and he's like, get a job, go to the shelter, and, you know, just the normal reaction that I think a lot of people would have. But so why doesn't everyone just go to a shelter? I want you to clear that up, because that's something that I've heard a lot of people just say, just go to a shelter.
I don't think people realize that going to a shelter, it comes with rules and regulations. They have certain hours, short hours. They have rules that aren't always genuinely possible for some people. If you listen to the stories that we've posted on our Instagram, sharing these people's stories, you hear that community members are spending their day trying to get around to these resources on top of the ones that have jobs, that are trying to get to and from their jobs, and it's not always accommodating. We also have people who have been in shelters where they haven't felt safe. So it's just another aspect where we're judging on a situation that we just don't know about. And so there are a lot of rules and regulations when it comes to that. And then also families, there's a lot of families that are unhoused as well, and being able to find those shelters that accommodate families too isn't always the easiest.
Yes, yes. I mean, in their minds, they think you could just walk into a shelter. And
yeah,
here I am. So I remember, so last year I volunteered to feed members of the unhoused community. And I'm going to tell you, here's, I'm not going to say ignorance, but yeah, maybe it was my, you have in your mind what being unhoused looks like, I think. I'm going to just be fair, and I'm not perfect. But I'll tell you, Marissa, what just shocked me were the families that I saw. Young people. There are so many young people who came to be fed, and they were just, it just blew my mind. It just wasn't what we think we see as an everyday lay person, right?
Exactly.
And so talk about the families and the young people, the children.
I think that people picture families and they look at families and don't know that they're homeless. And the average family wouldn't look homeless because a lot of them tried to cover it up. These are filled with families where the moms are trying to put food on the table for their kids. The kids are still trying to show up and go to school. And so families are one of the one of the clearest examples that storytelling means so much, because homelessness doesn't have just one face. There's no limit to the number of it. And we're building these relationships that we encounter entire families majority of the time, and they're navigating all of this together. At the core, restoring dignity means that a family experiencing homelessness is still a family. They're out here trying to protect each other and trying to provide for each other in circumstances that we would never understand. And so we exist so that we can see them and so we can serve them.
Yes, yes. And so if I came to you and I said, hey, Marissa, this person over there, he's asking me for some money. Mm-hmm. Would you say yes, give it to them? Would you say talk to them, learn more about what they're going through? What advice would you give me?
I would tell you to talk to them. We get questions all the time where people want to help and they're just not sure how to help. And yes. They also don't know how to start that conversation. And a lot of our community members will talk to you because that's the main thing that they want. They want to feel seen. They want you to hear their story and not just assume that they need something. I can't tell you how many times we go out and we offer out snacks. Not everybody takes those snacks because you just don't know what that day looks like for them. But it all starts with that eye contact, hearing their story, hearing what they have to say, because some of that dignity gets stripped away when you just assume and you push certain things on them. But we always want people to understand there's ways that you can help and volunteer with organizations like ours that are going out doing the research and get familiar with those resources that are available and that exist. So that way you can point people in that direction for them to get help.
Great answer. And I definitely will take that to heart. Now to my colleagues in blue, what advice would you give to law enforcement? Like, what do you think they could do differently or could do more of? What do you see?
For law enforcement, I would say just understanding. I know at the end of the day, there's certain rules that are put in place that are supposed to be followed. But at the end of the day, realizing that these people are human beings, they're people just like us. They need consideration just like us. And just taking that time and understanding and pushing, because it always starts with one person. So pushing, letting people know what you're seeing out there and what needs to change and what can be implemented, so that way we can come together and help as a community.
Hey, man, I absolutely love that answer. Anything else, like if you had a magic wand and you said, hey, I can make this happen, what would you like to see? What could we do more of?
That's a good question.
Or change anything.
Things I can do with a magic wand. I would say a lot of the homes, there's just going around Raleigh and, you know, other places, there's so many of these abandoned homes that even the city has that where we can be able to provide, you know, these shelters for people. With a magic wand, I would want to fix everything. I'm such a giving person. I always want to help everybody. So there's so much that I would want to change. But definitely I would want to change people's hearts, getting people to not look the other way and stop and acknowledge people. Like I said, it takes one person to start to turn the community around. So if I had a magic wand, I would use it to tap everybody and change their hearts and help them see that there's more to what meets the eye, so they're not judging a book by its cover.
That's a great answer. Thank you. I love it. So what I always do with my guests, and this is your opportunity, I will give it back to you. You can talk about anything that's going on, any events, anything you all are doing, any way our listeners can connect with your organization. You can share your email, your IG handle, Facebook, whatever it is, and I'm going to give it to you.
Okay. So we do have an event coming up actually this weekend on August 16th. We are partnering with Super Soul and Oak City Cares, and we have partnered with Mexi Arepa. They're a food truck. They're going to be coming out and serving 250 plates to the community. Our volunteers, Super Soul's volunteers, are coming out to make sure that everyone gets fed. We're going to have waters, make sure everyone gets hydrated. The biggest thing that I say is come out, get those boots on the ground. There's nothing like volunteering your time. You can find us online. We're at theothersideofraleigh.org. If you want to reach out to us, you can reach out to our email at info@theothersideofraleigh.org. Our Instagram is theothersideofraleigh, and there's links available on all of those platforms, so you can volunteer, you can donate, and you can find out ways to get involved. We've been so blessed that since we've started, we've been able to partner with so many organizations, so many businesses, and we're continuing to look for those partnerships and look for a way that we come together as a community. So if you have a business and you want to partner with us, or we can come help volunteer and help out organizations, we love to do that as well. Our biggest thing is bringing the community together. So we hope that we see you guys soon. We hope that you guys come out and volunteer with us, and just show that support. Next time you're walking out on the street and you see somebody that looks like they need help, at least have a conversation with them. Find out how their day is going, because that can change so much in their life.
Amen. Amen to that. Marissa, you, the other side of Raleigh, y'all are golden. Thank you so much for your service. We need more volunteers. We need more people like you. And to our listeners, I hope it touches you. When you hear this, I want you to just remember, when you see someone and you see that they're possibly struggling in a predicament, as Marissa said, and she said it earlier too, just introduce yourself, ask their name, and, you know, get to know them. And then you make an informed decision after that. But we all need to be serving those who are less fortunate and in those predicaments. So, Marissa, again, bless you and the other side of Raleigh. You're always welcome on the show. Anything y'all need from us, all you have to do is ask.
Thank you. We definitely appreciate it. And we definitely appreciate you having us on here. We're definitely grateful for the people in Raleigh that make this possible. We're grateful for our founder, Tyree, that founded this organization and is making such a difference in the community. And we're so grateful for everyone.
Yes, yes. Please give him our regards too.
Yes, I definitely will.
Yes. God bless.
Same to you.
Hey, sir. Hey, how y'all doing? Right. Can I ask you a question, sir? I am the host of the number one Christian podcast in the country. The Unknown Preacher LA, you ever heard of that?
Not at all.
Come on, man.
No, I about to say, but Christian, I rock with Christian, you know?
Oh, I see, yeah, I see.
Yeah, for sure.
So I was trying to give away $100 to whoever could do the theme song of my show.
Oh, dang. I wish I knew it, brother. But I will follow you, though.
I appreciate it.
Yes,
see,
sir.
That's what it's all about, y'all. Yes, Unknown Preacher LA, doing what we do. Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown Preacher.